Well, today I'd like to talk with you about something very near and dear to our salvation and our accomplishment of our road to heaven, which is this question: can you actually lose your salvation? Is that a possibility? Once you're saved and justified by faith in Christ, is it ever actually possible for a person to depart from Christ and to fall? Or is that a total impossibility? Now let's take a look at that with a nautical picture, if you will. I never use those, you know that. You know, God has prepared for us a great captain, Jesus Christ, a ship of salvation, the gospel, his wondrous salvation he's given us, and he's plucked each of us up out of the sea as castaways, where we were in a sea of sin, in an ocean of death, and he's brought us aboard his ship of salvation totally, 100% by grace, as a free gift through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, on the ship, we are journeying with him on a great trip to heavenly shores, to the anchor of his shining kingdom above. It's a good question for us to ask, then, whether it's possible for us on that journey as sailors and pilgrims going there with Christ, is it possible for us, once having come aboard, ever to go overboard again back into the sea and to perish? Or is that a total impossibility? Now, what God wants for us on our journey there is great assurance, and he wants to secure us on the deck of his ship. But we need to know the answer to this question, whether it's possible for us to go overboard after once being aboard, or is that a total impossibility? Let's take a look at that today. Is it possible to lose salvation after being in it? And God, by means of this doctrine, means only to secure us all the better aboard his ship. So let's take a look, see what it says. First of all, I will say that there are two major teachings about this out in visible Christendom today amongst the churches. The first view that you might hear is where people say that on the one hand, once you're saved in Christ, you can never lose your salvation. Right? That's the gospel, that's the doctrine of once saved, always saved, or eternal security. In other words, once you've come onto the ship of God's salvation, it's impossible for you ever to fall. They say you can sin, you can depart from Christ, you can lose your joy, you can lose your rewards, but you can never, never, never lose your salvation. So that's one view, and it's commonly taught. Actually, if you listen to the radio, there are teachers that, like Tony Evans, Adrian Rogers, David Jeremiah, J. Vernon McGee, Charles Stanley, to name a few, who teach this. And preacher Charles Stanley wrote this in his book, and I'll quote it to you. If a believer, for all practical purposes, becomes an unbeliever, his salvation is not in jeopardy. Okay? So even if you act and live as an unbeliever, no jeopardizing your salvation. Believers, he says, who lose or abandon their faith will retain their salvation. So that's the one view. That's once saved, always saved, eternal security, impossible. Impossible ever to go overboard and fall. Can't do that. The second view is that which is taught by a lot of other preachers, including our denomination, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that it is possible, once you've come aboard the ship of Christ, to depart from him, and it is possible to go over the side again if we are not alert and hold fast to Christ to the end. We don't want to depart from him. So we say that we need to be alert, we need to be armed for battle and to hold to Christ. Our confessions, the Book of Concord, say, faith, however, does not remain in those who lead a wicked life, lose the Holy Spirit, and reject repentance. And so those are the two views. One says it's impossible ever to go overboard. The other says it is a possibility to go overboard. Which of these is right? Which is the truth of the Scriptures? Well, to get the answer to this, we don't want to just debate what people say about this. We want to look to God's word and see what he says. So let's do that and see what God teaches us about this to secure us on his deck, to strengthen us as sailors on our journey through the troubled seas of this world to our heavenly anchorage up above, that we get there safely. First of all, let's ask this question. According to the Bible, is it possible, do you think, to shipwreck your faith? What do you say? You'd say yes. Okay, well, let's take a look and see if that's a possibility. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and following, Paul tells Timothy this. He says, "Wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith, and among them Hymenaeus and Alexander." So is it possible to shipwreck your faith? Now, what is a shipwreck? A shipwreck is when your faith is now wrecked on the rocks. And ships that get wrecked on the rocks don't reach their destination, do they? So here's Hymenaeus and at least Alexander. They shipwrecked their faith, according to the Paul. Could they be restored? Perhaps so. But at least at that moment, they were shipwrecked. So it's possible to do that. Secondly, is it possible for a person to be in the truth and then to swerve from the truth? Is that a possibility? Well, let's open up here to Hymenaeus again. This is in 2 Timothy 2, verse 17. Let's read what it says there. Paul says, "Hymenaeus and Philetus have swerved from the truth by holding that the resurrection is past already." So can you swerve from the truth but not be in it in the first place? You got to be in it to swerve. Is it possible to swerve? Yeah. Yes, they were in the truth and they swerved from the truth, holding a false and dangerous doctrine. So it's possible to swerve after being in the truth. Thirdly, is it a possibility, do you think, to be in Christ and following him faithfully at one time and then later on to depart and desert Christ? Is that a possibility? Well, we hear of a guy in the Bible. His name's Demas. He was a co-worker with Paul and followed him through his missionary journeys, a great friend of Paul at one time, a co-worker. Paul even says of Demas in Colossians 4, he says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you." He's here. He's my partner. He's serving with me, in other words. We open up, though, and read something happened later on. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Paul says this of that man. He says to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me soon," verse 10, "for Demas, in love with his present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." So what happened to Demas? He was doing great. And what happened to him? He deserted Paul. He deserted the gospel and he deserted Christ for the love of the world. Is it possible then to desert Christ for the love of the world? According to the Bible, that is definitely a possibility. So Scripture so far holds out to us that there it is possible to shipwreck, to swerve, and to desert. Okay, but now, those who hold the doctrine of eternal security, or once saved, always saved, might read of these things, and they say, "Yeah, but these people you're reading about here, Hymenaeus, Alexander, Philetus, etc., Demas, these people were never really true believers in the first place. They just seemed like believers, because true believers can never do those things, depart, desert, swerve, and can never lose their salvation." Okay? They say they just seemed to believe for a while. Is that true? Does the Bible hold out to us the possibility of believing, being a true believer, and then departing? Well, let's take a look at Jesus' parable that he told in Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. You remember that one, right? Different seeds fell along the path, etc. Jesus, in explaining the parable, says this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Then he explains the first seed, and then he gets to the second ones that fell on the rock. Remember that one? He says, "And the ones that fell on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. So what's our Lord Jesus say? Is it possible to believe for a while, and then in time of temptation to fall away? That's what it says. So you can actually be a real believer, having received the word with joy, believing it, but having no depth to that, not nourishing it, when trouble comes, you depart. That's a possibility. So you can be a believer and depart according to Jesus Christ. Now, Peter speaks of those same kinds of people that would depart after believing for a while in 2 Peter 2, verse 20. He says, "For if after they've escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them," entangled in what? The defilements of the world. "Again entangled in them and overpowered, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them." Then he says, "It's happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog turns back to his own vomit and the pig is washed only to wallow in the mire." So, would you say that Peter is referring to people here who are true believers? He says, number one, at one time they were washed. They were cleansed. He says, secondly, they had escaped the defilements of the world. Does that sound like a Christian to you? And he says, they escaped the defilements of the world, number three, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who is this but a true believer? But he says there are some who are turncoats, who, having no root, in a time of temptation and deceit, turn back, desert, and just like a pig, he says, they were washed, they go back and jump back into the mud of the world. That's a possibility according to Scripture. Now, why are we sharing these things today? To make you nervous? No, to make you all the more sure and strengthened on the deck of the ship. If you come aboard a sailing ship going through troubled seas on your way home, you need to know, is it a possibility of falling over or not? And if you think it's a possibility and you understand that, that only secures you all the more to hold on to the ship and never let go. And so it is a possibility so far we've seen. But you know, a teacher of eternal security, of which there are many, and once saved, always saved teachers might say, yes, okay, so I'll agree, you can be a believer, you can depart, turn from Christ, fall back into sin, go back to the ways of the world, fall into the ocean of debauchery, but you're still going to be saved on the last day. Why? Because it's impossible ever to lose your salvation. That's the doctrine. Is that really true? You know, they say you cannot be lost no matter what you do. And Charles Stanley, who I really like in a lot of ways, I listen to him and I've gotten a lot of good, but he says this. He says, you can't live sin and live like the devil down here and get by it even as a believer. The Bible says you'll lose your reward, but you'll be saved so as by fire you won't lose your salvation. In other words, he says, you can live like the devil, turn aside from Christ, abandon your faith, and you might not have the joys of the Christian life, you might not have your rewards in heaven, but you can't lose your salvation. You'll be saved. Is that true? Can you actually, as a Christian, depart, live like the devil, and say, I'm still saved? Because you had a one-time altar call or something. Well, do you just lose your joy and rewards, or do you lose your salvation? For that, let's take a look at another passage, Hebrews chapter 6, and see what the Bible says there. We're going to open up to Hebrews 6, and there we read, "For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who've once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the age to come, if they then commit apostasy, since they crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt. for land which has drunk the rain that often falls upon it and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed. Its end is to be burned." Does that sound like a good thing to you? Is this talking about a real Christian? You know, I hear people preach on this and they say, this is not a real Christian, this is a fake Christian. Well, let's take a look at that. What do we read here? Number one, these are people who were enlightened. Number two, they tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. And thirdly, they were partakers of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many unbelievers do you know are partakers of the Holy Spirit? That's Christians who are partakers of the Holy Spirit. And what is the end of those who commit total desertion of Christ and total apostasy? That means not just sinning, but like deliberately renouncing Christ and going back to the world. The scripture here says their end is to be burned, right? To be burned. Does that sound good to you? That sounds like eternal destruction and damnation after they were at one time aboard ship. In other words, they jumped back, if you're crazy enough, to jump back over into the sea and swim again in the ocean of wickedness, you will perish in the sea, says the scripture. So, don't anybody go there. Hold fast the ship is the point. The author of Hebrews continues in Hebrews 10. He says, for if we continue to sin deliberately, that word is ekousios, deliberately, voluntarily, willingly, purposefully, stubbornly going after sin. If you continue with a resolved heart to go after sin, after you've received the knowledge of the truth, then there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. A man who's violated the law of Moses dies without mercy at the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the man who spurned the Son of God and profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so that's only if you're deliberately running after it, playing with the edge of the ship, dragging your feet in the ocean. That can be a dangerous thing on a ship. Amen? Don't play with the edge of the ship, Jesus says. Don't go dangling yourself overboard and with a nonchalant, carefree attitude saying, I can never be lost because I'm aboard the ship. It's impossible for me ever to lose this because it is possible to go overboard. And therefore, that's a fearful thing from which we should take warning. Does that mean that the moment you sin, you're out or something? No, it just means God daily, richly, wonderfully forgives us all our sins. He's just saying, don't deliberately go after those things and lose your hold on me and upon our salvation, but be diligent, be alert, be armed for action, hold fast to me. That's what God's telling us by means of these things. He says, hold fast to the captain, hold fast to the ship who holds fast to you. Does that mean God wants you scared? What do you think? He wants you confident. He wants you assured. You know, you are totally 100% saved in Jesus Christ. You should have a light heart, a cheerful attitude, peace, zeal. All the power of the captain is there to keep you aboard. He's promised to get you there. He's going to do it. But he's just telling us here in these words, remember though, the sea is still the sea. You know, it's still a dangerous thing. We're on a journey. We haven't yet dropped anchor up there. Let's just be diligent as good sailors along the way. As you know, of course, I sailed all these kinds of tall ships years ago. And on one ship, the Californian, I was on a 148 square topsail schooner out in California along the Pacific coast. And we sailed really, literally thousands of miles over those 4 months. Our crew was not scared. We were confident. We had a great time. We were joyful. we were brave and all these good things. We got there all hands accounted for, but we also were diligent to hold on along the way. Some years later, I was on another schooner down in the Caribbean, and I heard over the radio that someone aboard the Californian had actually been lost, that they were sailing along in rough weather, and a wave crested over the quarterdeck and just washed the whole crew. And when they got up from that wild wave, they counted heads, and unfortunately, there was a young girl missing, 20-year-old girl. They looked for her and had a Coast Guard search for several days, and she was eventually called lost at sea, never seen again. Why? Ultimately, is because she wasn't holding fast to a stout part of the ship when that wave came. And that's what God's really telling us here. He says, you are totally safe. You are in my ship, on my ship, saved. I will keep you and get you there. Just be careful that when there's rough weather, you keep fast to me and keep fast to the word. Don't lose your footing on deck. That's what Peter says in 2 Peter 3. It says, you therefore, my beloved, knowing this beforehand, beware lest you be carried away with the error of lawless men and lose your own stability. Listen to these words of Jesus. Jesus says, towards the end of time, you're going to be hated by all nations for my name's sake, but it's he who endures to the end who will be saved. We also read in Hebrews chapter 3, we share in Christ if only we hold, say hold, our first confidence firm to the end, says that author. Colossians 1, 22, Jesus reconciled you in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard. And Jesus says in Revelation 3, I am coming soon, hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. This is a call to arms, amen? To be alert, to be ready for action, to hold fast, to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and to take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And Peter says in 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election, for if you do this, you will never fall. And so there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So holding fast to the captain, holding fast to the ship, and you have great confidence on this journey with good joy. Just remember, we're not yet in heaven. We are saved on a ship journeying through troubled seas, dangerous waters, to that wonderful harbor above. Therefore, hold fast. So how can people actually slip? How can people depart or go overboard? Well, it would be in letting down your guard, really. Being lazy and having a carefree attitude. You know, the devil's aim is always to do what? Rob us of the Word of God. He can rob it out of your daily routine. He can rob it by getting you not to go to a church to hear biblical preaching. He could get you out of the company of the saints and put you with bad company that ruins good morals. He could get you to leave off of prayer or starting to hold grudges and not forgive people or whatever. He keeps trying to rob this word from us so that our grip on Christ and the ship begins to loosen. And if it loosens enough, then he'll send a wave cresting over the deck to try to wash us overboard with a temptation or a time of trouble that we should depart and so plunge again into the sea. The point of God here is very simple. Be confident, be assured, but simply keep alert and keep to me, keep to Christ. For we're not yet in heaven. We're on the journey there. The ship is safe, but we're still passing through troubled seas. Therefore, hold to Christ and his word. Now, when I used to sail, and I remember on the Spirit of Massachusetts in the Caribbean, and I was the second mate on the ship, we'd have college students come on. We were going to sail from Grenada in the Caribbean up to Fairhaven in Massachusetts, several thousand miles. And my job as introducing the students to the ship was to introduce them to the way of a sailor and to a journey. The first thing I tell them is it's a great captain. It's a great ship. We're going to get there. It's going to be a great fun adventure. But here's the way you stay safe, because this isn't college. Okay? I said, when you go to college and you are told to study for a test, you may or may not, if you don't do it, all you lose is a grade on a test. If you don't listen to what I'm about to tell you, you could lose your hand, you could lose your foot, you could lose your life. You wouldn't believe how their ears pricked up at that one. And I said, this is the way you walk on a deck when we're rolling around in a heavy sea. You walk on the weather side, the uphill side, not the downhill side close to danger. Walk on this side. There's a long way to go before you get overside. Also, when you go aloft up into the rigging, this is how you clip on and secure yowrself. If you go out onto the bowsprit, out off the front of the ship, the bow, this is how you hold on there and clip in to keep yourself secure. Was I doing this to make them scared? To just give them a healthy respect for their environment so that they did get secured and they never would fall. And they had a great time. They're not cowering below. They're brave. They're joking. They're having a marvelous adventure, just like you should, on your way to heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ in total assurance. But this is just how we stay safe. Don't be afraid of the sea. Be confident in your captain. Just have a healthy respect for your environment is all. You know, the danger of once saved, always saved teaching and eternal security teaching, which is so prevalent out there, is they're basically taking people aboard the ship saying, it's impossible for you ever to go overboard, therefore have at it. Have a carefree, nonchalant attitude, because it's impossible to fall. And what happens because of that attitude? Look, Ma, no hands. No. That's not the way to go through your Christian life. If you do that, you're not just losing rewards or joy, you're possibly going to perish by that doctrine, because it's letting down your guard. But the doctrine of the scripture is, it's possible to go overboard. Therefore, by the teaching of this doctrine, God is securing you on the ship that you never fall. And you are never going to fall. The Lord will keep you. Be strong. Be of a great heart. Be of joy. Be of peace. Have fun on the journey. So, in conclusion here today, what confidence does God want you to have on your journey there to Fairhaven, the greater anchorage of the saints in the shining city of the kingdom and the home of God above? You know, we hold fast to him. We keep to Christ and his ship. That's good. You should be confident. But it's not our confidence in ourselves. It's our confidence that while we hold fast to Christ, it's really Christ, the captain, who's holding fast to you. His commitment is to get you there, all hands accounted for, sir, he'll say to the Father. He says this, I give you eternal life. No one is able to snatch you out of my hand. He says, I am faithful and I will do it. I will get you there. I have sealed you with my promised Holy Spirit. And I, who began a good work in you, I'm going to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I will get you there all in one piece, all hands accounted for, with a great heart along the way. Therefore, be courageous, be strong, just don't be stupid. Be alert, keep to me, and I will most certainly bring you to my safe anchorage in my kingdom above. Have great confidence and joy on the way, O people and crew of God. So I'll conclude with this word from Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, the only God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.